because I have no model of successful relationships going to the end like I'm doing with him.
And it's just a good reminder, like I love being here and being someone now that, you know, that you didn't have when you were little.
My name is Figs O'Sullivan.
And I'm Teal O'Sullivan.
We're emotionally focused couples therapists, and we're a couple.
In an act of sheer bravery
or foolishness,
we're sharing our own couples therapy sessions with the world.
Watch or listen to us fight,
cry,
laugh,
and repair.
Then grow in your relationships along with us through the insight we share as couples therapists.
There's a little kid inside of each of us just reaching out for love and connection.
Let's begin to reach back out to each other.
Welcome home.
This is Come Here to Me.
Welcome back to Come Here to Me with me, Faith.
And Teal.
Good to be back for another episode. We're doing our usual, it's pitch black out. We've been up since 4 a.m. We're finally ready to record here at 5 a.m.
Properly caffeinated, I will say.
Yes, of course. First thing was a good cup of Irish black tea with honey and oatmeal.
And oatmeal. I love how you make it. Figs makes a good cup of tea.
Well, you know, I hope you're enjoying a nice refreshing beverage or walk or however you take care of yourself.
Or the kids are like jumping on a trampoline and you're just like, I can't listen to your voice anymore. Let me listen to Figs and Teal.
Exactly. That's been coming up for me a lot this week. I cannot listen to our kids anymore. They're killing me.
You know what I was just loving about this week? It's just how we were able to do a little midweek ocean swim.
I always feel we're winning the week if you manage to get into the ocean in the middle of the week together as a family.
Right.
Like I love, yeah, it always feels so good if we can all get into the water together as a family in the middle of the week.
We say as a family, but let's be real. The kids are playing in the sand and Figs and I swim all together.
We get to swim together.
Yeah.
And I love both like actually swimming for exercise with you, but also we get to go look at all the fishies.
You guys, Figs is like, he's like a tour guide. He is so obsessed with the little fishies. He'll be like, look at this little mini baby puffer. It's at the very bottom of that little red cave. And I'll go down and like keep looking. And then, oh, I see it just peek out. You've got an eye.
I do seem to have an eye for the little puffer fish where they're hiding. By the way, and for the listeners and viewers that don't know, we live on Oahu in Hawaii. And we have like natural coral reef at the beach, right? Like, you know, 5-minute walk from our house. So I am literally living like some dream fantasy to be able to swim with all the little fishies. And I've 4 different times now in the last 4 months, I've got to swim with sea turtles, which is just like, what the? It just blows my mind.
You also saw a turtle this Tuesday and
I literally swam into it again. Every time, the only way I see them is because I literally almost swim straight into them and give myself a heart attack. And actually this week Zephyr, our dog, and I were kind of racing. I throw the ball and then I race Zephyr to the ball. Really unfair.
Swimming,
yeah. Exactly. Swimming in the water. And this time a sea turtle swam right in between me and Zephyr. Zephyr, you know, had a head start and I'm catching up and I just nearly like, you know, gave myself a heart attack because this like big creature swam right in between the two of us.
Well, and then I'm sure that they were territorial. And so we think that we might have seen the same one on Sunday. So we're staking out this turtle's territory. We're so lucky.
I think it's easier to see him during the week when there's fewer people.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah. Anyway, so we're living the dream, swimming with sea turtles.
Puffers.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Look, I'm sure, like any of you, that you know the way life goes. Wherever you go, there you are. Like, you still come as yourself. You still have all the same challenges. And we still have, like, 2 kids and work. And so even though the beach is 5 minutes down the road, like, it's still really hard to find time to actually have downtime and enjoy it. Right. It's just not as easy as we had envision. Like the vision of living in Hawaii, I'm going to be getting up in the morning and picking a freaking pineapple and eating it with a big knife. And then I'm going to go for a 5-mile run, finished off with like an hour of surfing. Like, and the truth is, I'm not as healthy as I envisioned I was going to be living here. So, but still a work in progress.
Work in progress.
Well, and look, we want to talk more at some point about living here and what that's like, right? And, you know, the whole process. But let's talk about our last therapy session.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's talk about our last therapy session. For me, this may have been emotionally the most significant session for me. I thought it ended at such a beautiful place between the two of us. And it really was a journey, right? So we're going to share quite a bit of the session with you. And it'll be clipped together a little bit because we want you to get a sense of from start to finish.
Right.
Transition.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about where we started? Because, you know, we started in an argument. Do you want to share a little bit what the argument was about?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we weren't like in a full-blown thing, but we had had a crappy interaction in the morning. And what you'll notice about this is we've just got loads of energy. Like both Fix and I are. We've been up for a long time that morning too. And it was just after the election.
Exactly.
And we were just firing. And so, yeah. So what our conflict was about a little bit was this concept of me sort of having this narrative, like, this is what's happening, is that Figs can be grumpy. And here was an example of him being kind of grumpy in front of our daughter.
And you'll hear the details below. Like, we were fighting about the dog being fed and me, do I have enough time to take Zephyr for a walk?
Zephyr's our dog. Just, you know, super relatable stuff that happens in all of our lives.
Regular, everyday couples life stuff.
Yeah, but it, as you can see, as the session goes on, there's a couple crucial moments, right? There's loads of energy in the beginning. At one point, you start to drop into a deeper place. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So the first part of the session, and we do this for about 19 minutes, but we cut it down what we share just because, you know, you can get it in a shorter period of time because we're basically wash, rinse, repeat for 90 minutes. Where I'm justifying my behavior, why I was grumpy, and you're then responding back, right? With your telling me how I was bad. And it's all good-natured on the surface, but that first 90 minutes of the session, we're basically stuck in story of other, justifying ourselves, describing the other person. And why I think it's important that we share some of this is I think this is the normal way that couples try and resolve conflict.
Right.
Like, that's back and forth. I'm going to explain myself to you. And then, no, I'll tell you what it is you did. And, like, even though we don't get into a terrible fight with each other as we're doing that, you're really running the risk of making your conflict worse when you do that. So we wanted to share a little of that so you see and hear the way in which we're stuck in the story of the other person. Now, our producer for the podcast, Steph, pointed this out that, you know, we both use this expression a lot, which is, my story is that. And so if I say, hey, my story, Teal, is that you're being really mean, that's like I'm actually acknowledging to myself that this is my perception that you're being mean. And I realize I'm inside that perception. It's not necessarily a fact that you're being mean.
It's kind of like a little bit maybe de-escalating. I don't think you and I heard this as a bid for de-escalation in that moment, but do you think that it's like that?
Well, yeah, it's a bid for you just letting the other person know, look, I have awareness that what I'm perceiving right now isn't necessarily a description of reality. I'm just letting you know whatever's happening inside me results in me seeing you and being in this story about who you are. And calling it a story again is really significant and important because, like, you could imagine, like, if I just tell Teal, you are me, like, I'm describing who you are, right? There's no, like, there's not exactly any room for you to waver if you're going to tell me exactly who I am without me having any input, right? But when I tell you, right, look, this is the story I'm locked inside, then it's much more flexible. And I know you tell me, but hopefully it shouldn't be as threatening.
Absolutely. And it might have been why it's kind of like we don't do anything in that first 20 minutes. We're just going back and forth in a conflict, in a cycle. There's not like a big raising, like, oh yeah, you know, but there's also like, we don't get out of it. So part of that might have been due to my story is that there's a little bit of acknowledgement, it's a little bit DSP.
Yeah, one of the key transitions that I need to make, you need to make, all our couples need to be able to make is the transition from being in story of other, where I don't even realize all I'm really doing is describing the other person. Or justifying my responses to the other person, to transitioning to primarily being in and sharing experience of self. So like, let's say like my story of other is Teal, you're me. First thing is, can I be aware that I'm in story of other, which is, and now I'm saying my story is your me. That's huge, because that's already a huge leap, because now I'm aware that I'm actually crafting and creating the story of perception of you. And I've gotten out of this need or belief that it's actually a fact, you know, whatever it is or isn't, right? And then, right, then I'm going to ask myself this really important question. Well, if that's the story I'm in, that's my perception of you, what is it I'm actually experiencing? And this is the huge transition where now I go, well, wait a second, what am I feeling when I think Teal is mean? Oh, I'm feeling threatened. I don't feel loved. Oh, I feel powerless. That's sad for me. And then that's what I share, right? Like, right. You know, I'm in the story that you're mean. And what I notice that those is I feel contracted. Yes, I'm frustrated with you. And I'm saying that my behavior is to blame you or critique you.
Right.
But actually inside me, I'm feeling contracted and powerless and sad. Whenever you look mean to me, I don't feel loved.
Right.
But that's a pretty amazing transition.
You know how I get couples to think about this? It's the shorthand version of what you're saying. Yeah. I say, okay, we've had this session. I want you to go out and just get a throat tap that just says, what's happening inside for me right now?
Nice, you do throats. That's more realistic. I often tell people to carve it into their forehead, like in Inglourious Basterds. You know, I even remember that scene where...
Yeah.
So I think that's a much nicer invitation.
Yeah.
A throat tap.
Yeah. Because it's not a carving, it's more of an inking.
That's much nicer.
Yeah, it's gentle. It's gentle.
The throat is less. You know, you can wear
a turtleneck. You could wear a turtleneck, even in Hawaii.
Or crotch. Crotch? Is that what it's called?
I don't know what that is.
Now I've gotten stuck on what that is. I think it's a cravat. Cravat? After flip's sake, it doesn't matter. Now listen, we got into this fight, and this is really important. We'll talk more about how you notice. We often refer to it as our cycle, even though it's low grade, but we're really kind of stuck on the surface, describing behavior and kind of being frustrated. And then you'll get to see this part in a clip or listen to it if you're doing just the audio. Our lovely therapist at one point, you know, then makes the invitation for me. Well, what is happening underneath when you're being the quote unquote angry Irishman? That's, you know, how I refer to myself when you kind of point out my bad behavior, right? And so then I drop in, getting in touch with, oh, when I'm in story that you're not considering me, Teal. Yeah, I'm frustrated and I'm acting angry, but what is it that I'm feeling? Oh, I don't feel considered. And what is it like for me when I don't feel considered? Oh, I feel alone. Oh, shoot, that's right. Like, I'm actually sad inside. And I actually dropped into feeling that.
It's a really important intervention that he used, and you access this really juicy stuff.
It is a really important intervention. But, you know, sometimes the 90 minutes is important, right? Because if you don't listen to the reactive ones, like, you know, the parts of us that were needed to explain ourselves, if they don't have a little bit of bandwidth or have the stage for a while, and all that the therapist does or that you and I do to each other is keep going, but tell me how you really feeling in your little vulnerable self. Like, I don't know about you, if I'm frustrated and someone says, yeah, but Figs, please access your vulnerability right now, like, I'm more likely to give them a kick up the arse than I am to access my vulnerability. So look, it's really good to honor the reactive parts, give them some time and room, but do it with as much awareness, like that I'm in my reactivity, as you can. And then those parts will feel heard, and then it'll be easier to access the inside yourself and to share like the vulnerability.
Absolutely. I love how you're saying that. I'm just like, I'm taking it in like waves. It's true. Like this wasn't wasted time for us. This was really, really important.
Yes.
Yes. I also was excited about you talking a little bit about you dropping it. I was actually remembering how our therapist framed that to you. He said, can you feel the sadness underneath this angry Irishman? And that it was almost immediate. So it's like you could see how primed we were.
Yeah.
And we needed that 20 minutes of banter, argument. Then you dropped in.
Yeah, it helps to get in touch with the feeling, right? Getting in touch with the activation is necessary to access the vulnerability. But this is a weird thing.
Absolutely.
The bad activation part, quote unquote, the bad activation part is helpful in its own way.
Right.
But come here, the other good thing is like what happened when I was able to access my vulnerability a bit more is it seemed like it softened you.
It really did. Like it was almost like building blocks. Like then I was like, oh, it helped me feel your sadness. And I kind of watched that back and I was like, ooh, that was an opening for Biggs. Like there would have been, you know, a nice piece of work that could have happened there.
Right.
But I was still sitting over there angry. I was softening, but it was still there for me. And I think the therapist made a good decision, which was to give me a little attending, you know, kind of asked another version of, you know, can you feel the sadness, Teal? And I think it went back to my history. So that's what you see there is, you know, he kind of gave this invitation into, hey, could you tell us a little bit more about you, Teal, and where you're from, and why grumpiness or anger can be so triggering for you. And so you get a little, you know, what's called an attachment history.
Exactly.
From what I share, you know, some of my big wounding.
Exactly.
And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that on the back end.
Exactly, yeah, because we do end up in like a really, really beautiful, beautiful place with each other that transitions through. We're arguing, I soften, it helps you soften enough to access and talk about your really vulnerable feelings, right? And where that comes from in you, it softens me. And then we can have this like lovely connection. But Lance, why don't we watch, listen to it, and we'll talk a little bit more about how we find each other at the end. And the real significance internally for us that just how big a moment this is may not be immediately obvious.
Yeah, it meant a lot to me and it meant a lot to Figs. It was very, very bonding. Even me watching it, we were kind of
really touching.
Teary a little bit. Yeah.
You almost got to catch another tear of mine in the rewatching. So yeah. Enjoy and thanks again for, you know, being with us on our couples therapy journey.
What happened this morning, why I was grumpy and mean, is the trigger is just like, look, I, like, how come I can ask you for stuff and you don't know, I just heard the kids, and you don't have to do it, whereas, you know, my story is I have to jump for you, right? So just to be clear, I know, but you may not agree, but I'm just telling you what the trigger was.
Your experience.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I'm not saying that's like the God's gospel truth, which
no,
it is.
I think in general, you're right. Like, I know you're fucking busy, and I'm busier than you. I'm always doing stuff.
Right.
And you're right. I, like we've talked about in prior sessions with Tom, I am going shopping. I got us food. Oh my God, we wouldn't have had food. So you're right. I sail in and it still baffles me that you need to be like rolling your eyes at me when I'm like, food, we didn't have food. We wouldn't be able to, you know, how would our night work? We both have sessions back to back. You would have had to leave the house with two kids at 7 p.m.
But now you're just explaining and defending yourself.
I'm
so
just,
listen,
no.
But there's a totally different thing.
Let me finish.
Go on.
No, because you brought that in. You brought it in.
Okay, go ahead.
Hold on, you're both defending yourself.
Exactly.
Your stories.
No, absolutely. But I thought we were just going to say, like, we were going to go through what the cycle is.
And
right?
The cycle has to do, like, you, as you're going through, you're bringing in other pieces. So I'm going to get back to my point.
Go on.
Believe you me. Right?
Go on.
Because, yeah, and what I'm trying to say is you're right. I do, and I can think about that. We can process it here that I have an expectation of, you know, needing you with urgency, and that in general I don't feel that as much from you, or maybe I just push the boundaries. Okay, I'll get it to you, and you know, 36 hours later I get you whatever it is. Although it was good with the medical numbers.
You were very good. That was very helpful. Thank you.
And so, like, yeah, I you're right. I didn't hear that story this morning, and I lagged on it. But on top of that, before that, there had been a moment where you were like, breakfast was on the table. Here you are waking up early. I've been pulling my weight this fucking week because of your and my preoccupation with the election. I feel like I've been very generous. You're out. Okay, sleep here. Let me take your night for dishes. I'm just trying to do everything I can because I see how much you care about it. You get interested in work and a couple other things, but I don't always see you this passionate about this. Let me support this. And so breakfast was on the table and you said something about the cheese in the eggs. And I'm like, I've put the cheese in the eggs. I made so many things of eggs this morning, put cheese in so many. And I must have not for figs. And it also is a sensitive thing for me about food with figs, like, and his happiness. Here you go. No. Yeah, I am going off because, and I'm getting back to the point, which is this is my side of the story.
Right.
Is that then what I hear is something about the eggs. Well, no, you didn't. You really didn't put them in.
I was just saying everything you said was wrong. No bones, I'm tired. I told you, I'm tired.
That's how I like you, is just vulnerable and weak.
So look, Teal is right. I have a trait from my mother's side of the family that when I'm doing something or working, I use anger, aggression, frustration to get it done. And I can get stuck then in that, you know, you call it a groove, whatever you call it, you know. I can get stuck in it then. And I definitely had that this morning, you know, where, you know, after working for like, you know, 4 or 5 hours already by like 7 a.m. and then like, and having this frustrating experience with Kaiser, that I don't know if I fully realized I was in that kind of place, that now I'm like a belligerent Irish farmer. You know, there's fucking dog food and I asked you to do it. And did you do it? Did you? You know, like I had, you know, I don't have that accent like my grandfather, but I have that energy sometimes, right? You know, and again, some of it I really get things done. But some of it is I'm not that easy to work with or, you know, be with when that's the energy I call on to get stuff done.
Things, what would have worked better when you were the angry Irishman?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I thought Teal... look, I think the acting it out is really good. When I see it now, I thought it was really good. I think it's really good. When I now look over from the kitchen over across the counter and Teal is like, it looks like she's dancing and throwing paper in the air, like copying me. That's actually quite good, you know. But look, the other thing would be to try, like, I don't expect Teal to be able to get this, but to try and...
You know, it's just like my bucket just fills up, like... Okay. My bucket of all the times I get things wrong. So I just feel...
Wait a second.
I feel really defensive.
Just let me answer the question.
Well, you did.
No, I didn't.
And I'm feeling defensive
about it. No, but wait a second. Just what I was saying is, like, if somewhere that you could remember that the only reason Figs acts this way is because he's hurt. That's all. You know, I know you're not going to be able to because it'll be too loud that I look like an asshole.
She's got her own.
No, exactly. So this is what I say. Just like, just try.
We don't need to problem solve for the future, people. Like, all I can see is right now, it makes sense to me that you were hurting.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I understand why you are hurt.
You know, it loosens the, like, grip on my heart.
Right.
I just feel it in my body. It's such a deep level, like, you know, I'm really telling myself, like, Figs is being mean to me.
Right.
Like, here he goes again.
Right.
And, like, and, you know, part of, you know, I think we have had a de-escalated time in the past since we've been working with you.
Yeah,
I feel
it's been really helpful.
A lot of positive benefits in our relationship.
Right.
And it's almost more devastating for me to be kind of like in this like more guard let down. Gosh, we're working together. I haven't been like, I've really been helping you this week in the election. Look at how I'm helping. I'm just like, I just feel like we're doing good. And like, and I'm so grateful you're on the phone with Kaiser and I like made you breakfast. I just thought, gosh, we're working so well together. And so I can really get into a story of I'm the wronged one. I'm the hurt one here. Right. And that's what I approach you with. And you don't feel seen about all the ways that you feel hurt.
Right. Yeah. And listen, just again, Tom, so I just want to own, like, look, I get into the particular grooves without even realizing it myself. And one of those is this kind of, there's a belligerence that I can have, just to be honest, a horrible way to describe my own behavior. But there can be moments of just, like, I didn't fully realize that I was kind of just the degree to which I'm so frustrated after spending all that time on, you know, with customer support and then not resolving. And then the next tiny trigger, you know, I asked Tia, will you do something? And she's not there. That, then all of a sudden I'm like, eh, yeah, fucking right. Jesus.
It was a conglomeration. But
yeah.
Was you relating this story about yourself and the angry Irishman? Can you contact the hurt part of you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and look, I know underneath that frustration and seeming aggressive is that, like, it just, again, it just feel, I feel alone, like nobody's there, right? It just touches a place where I could just feel really overwhelmed that, and I think that's, I call on that energy, you know, because I just feel really overwhelmed that I really am alone with everything.
That's how you started working with me.
Right.
That statement about yourself that you know about.
Right. And look, and I know I'm not alone with everything. I'm not saying this is just a deep feeling inside. Look, this is why I get up at 3 a.m. Like, I'm sitting there last night going, I don't have any idea how I'm going to do everything. Everything I have to do over the next 2 weeks, I don't know if it's possible. I have to start getting up at that time. And I do, like, I can feel like, look, you know, some of these things are really exciting things that I have to do, but I can feel a sadness of that just deeper feeling of I'm really kind of alone, whatever. Like, I have to do it. There's no one's going to come help me. And that, yeah, look, it's a sad place and I don't feel it very often. I usually am activating into, you know, like fire to get stuff done.
What's that like putting your hand on your back?
I mean, it's nice. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, I feel bad for you. I mean, I feel like it really makes sense to me as you're talking right now just about how alone you feel. And, you know, there's just, you're such a high-functioning person that, you know, like, you're the only one that can do a lot of the stuff that needs to be done. And, you know, right now I have a dual focus. So I have something else I'm working on every morning and feel really excited and passionate. And I have a deadline for myself and working with my own EFT supervisor about it. And that's not to say, and like, you know, I think what I'm feeling between us is you kind of saying, like, we have something in 10 days that's really... So anyway, right. I guess it's... It does start to be, I start to feel, okay, you feel your aloneness, it's about the world, but it's also about me, and it's about ways that you can feel like you just have to take on so much, hon. Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's why I'm reaching out, is because I recognize and have so much, you know, admiration and, like, love and kind of, like, I'm so inspired and a little overwhelmed and intimidated. You know, but like, I know that I'm, so anyway, I just make it personal.
No, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And like, you know, it's, I appreciate you asking me about like, can I access the hurt part? Because yeah, like it's so, compelling to just be in the kind of almost like fear driven, response, like, you know, the action that I take. And of course, the grumpiness that can come with it, right? Or belligerence. It's, again, I hate saying it. It's terrible. But I am kind of a bit. But yeah, look, deep down inside, I just get I feel alone. And yeah, I mean, it's just a little scary, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And you know, you're really conscious. conscious about that, and you know that you have a certain set of glasses on when you see yourself as being alone. It's not always true.
Yeah. Absolutely, it's not always true. And that's the thing, like, I know I'm talking about it, it's not actually true I'm alone, like, you know, but that's just, it's like, again, it's a...
You're identified with
that. Yeah, you know, like it's, it's like a demonic, possession or whatever, right?
It's a structure.
Yeah, exactly.
You're slowly melting it away.
Yeah, and I still get stuck in it, you know, and... But, like, I don't feel that attached to it now. Like, I can feel the sadness. I'm not in a big story about Teal's not there for me. I really feel like I'm describing what I felt then. I'm not actually, I don't feel that way right now.
Even when you started the session, you were in that?
No. It's gone. But this is the problem, right? While I do feel that way, I can really hurt Teal's feelings.
That's what I wanted to address.
Right.
You were asking Teal to not take it personally when you're the angry Irishman, but...
Well, yeah.
The problem is she's got her...
Right.
I want to hear from you, Teal, that you've got your cup is full and you're juggling a lot of things, and
right.
You don't feel seen in that moment, and you feel hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, and I think a lot of this stuff I don't have a chip on my shoulder about it. I just accept in some ways, Figs and I've been together for a long time, and he does a lot and I do a lot, and I don't need to be appreciated for all that I do in a kind of affirmative way. Of course, it feels good. And I know we talked a little bit about that last week. That's a little bit hard for me maybe to even take it in, but it does really hurt when I don't feel appreciated, and so that's one part. And yeah, I fucking hate, and it's a very different culture. We have a very different cultural background, whether it's culture, different from different places or different families. He talked about the radio being on all the time. My mom was just like, and it was just my mom and I, and so like, I don't even know what type of parenting exactly she was doing. My mom was just a brilliant parent, but there was lots of times of quiet and silence and contemplation time. And so, and then, I'd go, I haven't shared, but I have I don't even like the phrase broken family, but my dad was never in with my mom when I was alive. Am alive. They have never been together, and he lived in California. And so when I'd go to see my dad, he'd be the guy that was like, fun, but also angry, like mad at times. And so it's like, it's just, it feels really shocking to my system, and I don't like it, and I push away, and, I become, like, I feel, in my private chasm of suffering, and, and Figs is doing this to me, and he's a fucking asshole, and, that type of thing.
And you had an angry stepdad.
Yeah, I had an angry stepdad. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So it's just, when we go into like Teal's daddy issues or challenges with men, like I think I can feel, and like the thing is I feel like I've shared with Figs, crying Figs, really hurt when my stepdad was so mean to me and so angry, really hurt when my dad's been like this and he's like, held me and got it. And so there's a part of me that's like, how can I get you to see I don't like this?
Yeah.
And I don't want to tolerate it. And I'm fucking done with it. Like, I've had enough angry men in my life to be like, I'm at capacity.
But wait, hold on a second. Where's the banging? Go on.
That's the dumpster.
Oh, that's the dumpster. Go on.
So anyway, I get it. Obviously you can see I get agitated and angry about it. And like, I also feel a little bit like, is there anything I could do? But obviously, I feel like I'm learning something right now when Figs is saying, I'm actually really sad. And that helps me. And I honestly have never thought of it that way, right. even in our repairs, which, yeah. you know, we're fucking gifted repairers.
Right.
But, you know, just asking Figs, can you access the sadness? Yeah. It helps me because I really get stuck in, you know, my story and right. being like, look, I've even just cried in your arms. Like, what more do I need to do for you to recognize? I really can't stand this. And I do. I can get to capacity pretty quickly.
Right. No, it totally makes sense. Yeah.
This is when couples have the flare-ups. This is when neither of them have the bandwidth to give the other one what they need in the moment.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. And by the way, I just think it's worth noting because, you know, it's something like the... I think where there's another leg, it's like a new round kicks off, is, look, I can understand everything that Teal said, like, I totally get where she's coming from, like, I mean, as much as I can, right? That you're really hurt, and you've been really hurt before, and here am I, someone that you've shared your vulnerable feelings with, and then I get angry, and it's really hurt you, and you told, like, I, of all the people that should know and never be angry with you, I get, like, why it would be such a big betrayal, and you'd really hurt, right? And I get, look, I totally get it. And then there's something you say then, like, that is just very triggering for me,
mm-hmm.
which can, like, kick me out of being, you know, softened and engaged is, what was it, the word you just used? And I'm not going to tolerate it, or mm-hmm. I'm not, like, mm-hmm. there's, like,
yeah.
there's a thing that happens where Teal starts talking about, I'm not going to have this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
She gets into her anger and aggression.
Yeah, and look, and starts making declarative,
right.
you know, statements about,
right.
like, this is what I'm going to create for me. And that's where I get my feathers. Mm-hmm. My feathers, like, you know, or my hair on my back as a dog. I'm like, oh, yeah? Right, you know, yeah, like, that's yeah. where I'll, like, that's rise up again.
Yeah, we've totally had that. And, you know,
In fact, that's the worst part of our fights. Because now I'm, like, you know, okay, let's go then. If that's how, like, well, yeah, what? Like, what? Like, you know, I'll, yeah, you know. Then we really get into it. Now, probably we should always do therapy when I've already, you know, when I've exhausted. Because I don't know, like, I'm not very triggered right now. But that is like the red rag to a bull for me. That particular,
yeah.
Totally understand why you're upset yeah. and reactive, but that line of
yeah.
reactivity kills me.
There's the power thing, and it's
kind of, right.
And it also signifies a split, which would bring up the aloneness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm willing to scorch the earth then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Verbally, in that moment, I'm like, well, come on then.
Can I say something?
Go on.
Yeah. Well, first of all, this is really important. And, you know, and I recognize I did it just now, and maybe I've done it in session. But I've really worked in our conflicts not to, and maybe I've failed. And I've certainly failed in the past
right.
because I have said things like that, but you have shared with me in repairs or in just, like, you know, the agony of the fallouts of kind of more escalated fights like this, just how damaging that is for you
mm-hmm.
and that it's yeah. really, really intolerable for you.
Right.
And I absolutely get it. I would be flipping out if you did that to me. So if I put myself in your shoes, I really, really do. I really do get it. And I think that, you know, having such, anyway, it's just a conversation for another day, but it's like the fact that I do get there, inside of my head and I control myself to not say it on the outside,
yeah.
I think is important because I don't want to damage Figs, but I also get to that point inside of myself and it's not a place... I'm not going to walk away. Like, again, all I want for my life is to, you know, I want Figs to die in my arms. I want to be in this relationship. I'm so fucking committed to it. And, you know, it's part of that type of commitment that I get to a point where I'm just like,
you know, I'm so hurt and that you do this to me. And how am I safe in this thing for you to die in my arms if this is happening? And obviously it's so one-sided, so it helps to hear the other part. But I think I'd like to work, and maybe it's my individual therapy. It's a lot of stuff around abandonment and loss issues. I want to abandon before I'm abandoned. And, you know, and I think it would be helpful for me to reorganize the narrative of my life and what I'm doing with Figs, because I have no model of successful relationships going to the end like I'm doing with him. And so I actually feel very like it's a very fragile framework for myself. And so I think I'm battling trying to understand all of that, but it makes sense that it's devastating for Figs to hear. I don't want to do it. And most of all, I don't want to feel that way. So that's what I'd like to work on. And not that Figs don't make me feel that way, but more like I'm saying, hey guys, I think I need help with this part.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, you both will benefit, as you know, with the mindfulness that lets you see the vulnerability in yourself
right. And
the other
right. Quickly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Get to the primary more quickly and you're there. Right.
Right.
What's happening? Go ahead.
Yeah, will you just give me a quick snapshot of, I didn't quite get the chronology of your upbringing with who was separated when. I don't know if you went through that ever, but.
it's a bit triggering for me, but I will. What's that?
Triggering to talk about.
Yeah. But
I don't need to.
Well, I think it's nice that we're going to end soon and then I can just kind of go back into my own type of suppression. But yeah, so my mom and my dad, they like signed the divorce paper. They've been trying for a long time to have a child. There were some, you know, just medical problems with conception, and they were both kind of this free love of the 70s, and each kind of experimenting with other people, because my mom was a scientist living in the Caribbean. My dad was back in Northern California. But they ultimately, you know, signed some divorce papers and kind of had a last hurrah. And I'm the product of that, you know, that experience after so long of trying and so many failures. And then my mom moved to Hawaii to pursue her PhD, and that's where I was born. And then, you know, yeah, so they each had a string of other relationships after that, but I did, you know, kind of, I think it was probably like more like 90-20 or 90-10 custody. I was with my mom 90% of the time, but in summers and Christmas I'd go to California and spend time with my dad. And so, yeah. Well, it didn't feel that triggering in the end. But
yeah. There was some stepdad.
Yeah, there's a stepdad who actually I'm close to now, or getting closer to now, but it was just...
He literally lives close.
He literally lives close now, and we have a good... somewhat good relationship, very superficial relationship, but so there's him, but it was just hell. He was hell for me.
I mean, it was good and then it was hell, right?
Yeah, it was good and then it was hell. So that's just like, you know, the challenge of connection and then loss of connection was really traumatizing for me. So I think I've got, obviously I won't go into it, but I've got some kind of like really early trauma around loss of my dad. He came when I was born and left on like day 3 of my life. And so I think I've got some really, really young wounding around like that loss, you know? And then I had some, you know, so I feel like I have an abandonment wound from my dad, and then I have a rejection wound from my stepdad. So if we want to be open about my biggest traumas, and obviously had tons of privilege, but anyway, you know, I also had a really, you know, really special mom throughout all of that, and
Is she alive?
Yeah. Yeah, my mom's alive, and she's part of why we're, you know, we're back in Hawaii. My mom just had a really serious bike accident, and so, yeah, she's recovering now, so... You know, I'm very close with someone who has pretty significant trauma, physical trauma. She has her own, a lot of emotional trauma. And then she's had kind of chronic pain for most of my life. So that's me.
How are you feeling sharing all that? What are you feeling?
Good, kind of emotional at parts of it. Like there's a lot of unresolved pieces with my dad. He and I don't have a great relationship, and so it's a daily like journey, just being really gentle with myself about that relationship. And
I guess it's heavy to create your own family. It must be healing, yeah, to create your own family.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to have, and you know, obviously, this is also for another day, but Figs has been, you know, such a blessing in terms of how I feel protected around my dad and, you know, someone. And I feel Figs's commitment to me. Like, you know, we talked, I thought it was really powerful last week talking about, you know, kind of healing each other in different ways from some of our deeper attachment wounds. And anyway, it just, yes, it is so good to be able to make my own family, and that I get to be doing it in Hawaii, and that, you know, the kids are so special, and my husband's so special.
Thanks, sweetie.
You know, part of that, there's a positive side like to that encouragement.
I want to hear you say something.
Yeah. Well, no, look, it touches a lot of sadness in me just to hear what happened to you as a kid and being abandoned and rejected. And just when you were talking, like, I really, really felt, you know, my own, like, tears and sadness, like, for you. And it's just a good reminder, like I love being here and being someone now in your life that, you know, that you didn't have when you were little. Anyway, so I love you. Thank you for letting me be here for you.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I cannot believe that I, like, found Figs, or he found me, or whatever. I'm just so lucky. So,
yeah.
Just I like, feel very lucky, too.
I feel the fierce loyalty between you two.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say that fierce Irishman has fierce loyalty. You know?
Yeah. You know, so by the way, and I know, like, sometimes I'm really shocked, like, I meet people all the time that they feel the responsibility or the loyalty of relationship is a burden. And for me, it's like, I don't know, it's like, I look at it as the most beautiful, you know, it's just this beautiful, inspiring thing. Yeah. Like, you know, so, yeah.
You know, you're sending off that beautiful love.
Wow, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love you, sweetie.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fierceness is obviously part of, like, what makes you a badass. And so, like, I just want you to know, like, I see it, kicking the things around. I mean, he doesn't really kick things, but, like, maybe ripping the dog food bag, and, like, I can find the humor in that because, first of all, you're really expressive physically and being huge, it's just amazing. But also just, like, you know, the passion, and obviously I get, Figs has been dancing, like, so first of all, Figs is an amazing dancer.
I know.
Like, really, really, really gifted,
like, you
dancer.
Mean, like, freeform, right?
Yeah. Freeform,
yeah. And honey, I haven't seen you dance this much since this since the last couple of days. Yeah. Do you know? Like, he's just like our kids are just like, oh my God, my parents are freaks because we just like bust out together. But like,
right till they're teenagers.
Yeah, yeah, oh my gosh. We're just going to be like the exactly. awkward couples therapist
right.
parents.
Yeah.
Which we already are, but I was just saying that, you know, the passion, like, it comes out in a lot of ways, in ways that I love, and, you know, get triggered.
And ways that aren't so good.
Yeah, and there's ways that I can get triggered by it and have my own.
Right.
It's good to cover the whole spectrum today rather than just one.
Exactly. You know, it's the thing. Look, some of it, like, both of us, these things are blessings and curses wrapped up in one. Right. Like, you know, me being fiery is terrible sometimes, but it's also good in some
time. Absolutely.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So.
And me pushing things to the last
that's
minute.
That's good sometimes.
Fucking annoying sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes, like, dinner's on the table.
Right. Well, and also you make us do awesome things.
Yeah, she
all the time.
Well, she gets it done. And she may, yeah, she gets experiences done, right? Like, you know, right. Let's go. We have an hour. Of course that's enough time to do something, which is great.
Yeah.
But thank you, sweetie. I love you.
Love you.
Yeah.
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
So, well, yeah, like, what was that like to listen to and watch? By the way, we never actually said that, like, please email us, like, leave a comment, leave a review. We'd love to hear what it's like to watch us in couples therapy and to hear us blab on about ourselves.
Like, can you relate to myself? Can you relate to Figs? Exactly. Or do you have a totally different story? I mean, anyway, all of it is welcome. I just noticed as I'm rewatching, wow, it's such a meaningful moment between us.
Which moment?
Where we get to towards the end, right, yeah. Where it's like, I can see myself, you know, it's pretty vulnerable for me to share about my family.
Right. You're really brave. I really appreciate during the session, for those who are watching the actual video, like when you started talking about your family history, I'm like, oh my God.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I was imagining you were going to, you know, start crying in the river. But
right.
Honestly, I was a little worried that we were going to say, we can't share this with the audience. Like, I got like, I was worried that, like, oh no,
that
this is the
private.
Kind of thing that, you can be very private.
Well, exactly. I am typically kind of like a more internal, private person about my. But look at what I'm doing right now. It felt vulnerable to me. And I think there was parts of myself that were like, no, don't share. Oh, I'm not ready for this. And did I leap over some of those parts? I think I did. I felt sturdy enough, even though I had some resistance.
Some of the parts about you feeling your abandoned parts and rejected parts as a kid, and that you can feel those parts in relationship now.
Yeah, I mean...
Is it okay to make it the summary like that?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think even for me, it's talking about my attachment history,
right.
Where I was like, I don't want to share those parts. Those parts are private for me and kind of like very activating, you know?
Exactly.
But you're right. And it is nice how you can tell, you know, I was kind of like looking at, oh, some of the work I've done that I'm able to say, oh, here's my wound from this. And here's my wound from that. So maybe that'll help you as the listeners to kind of recognize, you know, you can kind of learn more about Teal and, you know, my history, and maybe some of that stuff connects with you. Maybe it really doesn't. But also to just see, wow, I claim those wounds. It's kind of like looking at scars and being like, fuck yeah. You know, and but you are there. And what I was going to say is, I see myself like I need you so much in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like the therapist is not enough for me.
Right.
If I was in individual therapy, I'd be like freaking out. And I say, I need you to hug me.
Right.
I need, like, you're so important to me. Like, because you're this attachment figure for me now. So even just sharing this, I'm like, I'm relying on you so much. And you're just there. You're like, give me that hug. You're looking at me. And then, right? And then you share your tears with me. And, you know, what was it like when you started to kind of feel a lot of emotion coming up inside for you, Figs?
Yeah, thank you, sweetie. I mean, look, again, I just want to reiterate that I really appreciate you. Very, very brave of you to share about yourself so openly and honestly. And, you know, our listeners and viewers might not know it because we're just doing this, that This is a really big deal that you're sharing your private internal world. It's not as easy. I know this is not as easy for you as it may look or hear, right? Or sound. So in terms of what it was like for me, you know, we had a couple of interruptions. Like, I noticed, like, I was feeling so much love and empathy for you when you were hurting. And I was feeling this vulnerability. And, like my heart was, like, swelling with love. And, like, I could feel like I was about to cry. And then our son interrupted the session.
Yeah.
And then he woke up and, like, you know, and then I remember thinking, shoot. I was just about to, like, have the thing that makes Teal happiest, that I'm actually sad for because I love her so much and I want to be there. And it got interrupted. I actually thinking about it. It's like, you know, if you're, like, having sexy time and you're like, hey, you're getting to, like, the best part, and then you get interrupted and you're like, how are we going to get back to that place when we start?
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
And then it also, I'm like, oh, it turns out it wasn't so hard to get back to this place, right? And that's it.
And that's for another session.
Exactly. And it turns out that's what it was like. I was worried I lost it, you know, because my back, it's not as easy for me to be really, really soft and stay in that soft place because I don't like to be seen there. So it's
horrible for you.
It's complicated, yeah. And so when I was there with you and then it got interrupted, but then, like, I really felt it again, like, just in terms of I love being able to be your person, that you can be that part of yourself that actually feels abandoned and rejected and it hurts so much and that you need me. And that makes me feel so good to get to love you and support and give you all that love and care that you deserve. Yeah, so that was just really powerful. And just I could see, I loved that you did this gesture. Yes. With your hand, you know, you did this, like, you know, reverse fist bump, like, yes, like, you know, quarterback just threw a touchdown. It seems such a small gesture, but that's almost like this victory lap of the little kid where, like, you know, like, you were never there for me when I was a kid, or like, or you rejected me, but here I get to see you really love me. You're crying for me because of how much you love me.
Literally felt like rain on a scorched desert.
Oh. That's a lovely,
No, but legitimately, and it was like that victory, like this bump.
Right. Anytime you see any of my tears, you're like, yes. Right. And I know, because it touched you so deeply.
It did, that you care that much about me. Right. And, like, I mean, I'm still integrating it. Watching it, it's like, whoa. You know, it's something that will continue to work wonders for me. Yeah. It was a powerful place for us.
It's really powerful. And you know, it's interesting, and watching it back, like, when we had the session, I'm like, wow, that was so powerful. That was so intense, right? Yeah. And it really was. What was happening inside is, like, this is the place that we really, well, the only reason we fight is we're trying to get to this place for each other. Right. And when we're not there, like, it feels so painful and we're trying to get there. And we got there with each other. We're like, you're hurting and I get to love you and you felt loved by me and we feel really connected. Like, this is, like, perfect. It's like paradise for the little vulnerable ones inside. But you know what? I was really struck by looking back at it. It doesn't look that dramatic on the outside.
Right.
And so this was huge for me when I think about them with my clients, because, you know, I think something I'm guilty of, or I know other therapists in our team can be guilty of, is we feel we need to have them in such a deep, vulnerable place before we can go for this kind of connection. But you can't always see what's happening inside. Like, it was the deepest, most profound, loving experience. And if I was the therapist, or you, the listener or viewer, I could have easily not seen or picked up just how important and pivotal this is between us.
Such a good point. It is such a good point, and it really is important. It feels crucial clinically for me as I think about my clients and really have a reverence and respect for. You know, it's one thing, you see someone cry, you see some tears come up. Whoa, you guys, we all know what it feels like to feel super sad and emotional. But that's an internal world. A tear is a tiny byproduct of that. How can we really get that for someone? So I feel like it created this understanding of our clients. And also, it's a bit of a trauma piece, I think, for you and I, is a little bit of a still face. You know, I see myself retelling my history and how functional and put together I look, not like together, you know, hair and makeup, but just like, I'm not like melting down. Like you, your insight of how you thought I would be, that's how I felt inside.
Right.
On the outside.
I thought you were going to really be like, you know, needing five boxes of tissue.
Exactly. And I felt like that, like I was kind of shaky inside, but I just like looked like, okay, let me just tell this. Like it's a thing, like it's a story. Wow, that internal world and how it matches the outside, different story.
Exactly.
It's really interesting. So you think about between couples, I feel all this on the inside. Do you see me? It's like, hey, it's almost impossible to be able to really see you and get it. But in this moment, you do see me. You do get it. You're feeling it every step of the way with me once we get to a certain point, right? So
it's so good.
Intense.
And that's the last thing we want to make sure that our listeners, viewers take away is remember this is a journey to get there. And we were saying the first 19 minutes of the session, we were actually activated with each other and I'm with Ben and myself and you're pointing out how terrible I am. And, you know, that got us into the realm where those vulnerable feelings are actually accessible. We haven't accessed them yet, but by being activated, they're actually here, right? Then I do actually access my vulnerability and it's helped soften you. And then, you know, we don't go deeper into my vulnerability. We just, you know, the therapist directs to you. And then we start to more deeply access your vulnerability. But here's the amazing thing. Even still, it's quite messy because even though we're starting to access your vulnerability, and as we're accessing your vulnerability, you still, it's mixed with your reactivity. Because, you know, you say at one point, they're like, I'm not going to tolerate. You know, the anger in my life, totally understandable. But then remember, I hear that and it can like, get me out of my empathizing with you because that feels like my, you know, trigger on me.
Totally makes sense.
So it's and it totally makes sense that your vulnerability is still mixed with the way you protect yourself. But then you even go deeper down because you can see I'm really with you and loving you, even though I haven't said anything yet. You go even deeper down into your little parts that are abandoned, little parts that are rejected, and you're out of any anger and pissed offness about it. You're just in the hurt place. And I get to share just how much I love this party, how full of love and this desire to be there for you. Like it's a gift to me. So now I get to feel my own heart, my own aliveness, and that I have love inside me. And I feel so good to feel it. I get to share that with you. That feels amazing as a human being, even though it's vulnerable and I'm like, you know, giggling and you're giggling, like as if this is so vulnerable to be doing it. And then you let it in, and that little one inside you gets to feel, oh my God, I'm not abandoned and rejected right now. I'm actually loved. Yes. And then I get to see that that really means so much to you. And so I get to be enough. And we get to do like big fist bump or big jellyfish, like celebration.
And a little buffer.
Right? Like that is huge. That's so healing. But it did take the entire journey to get there.
Yeah, every minute of the journey.
Every minute of it, right? And so the reason I say that is like couples often when you're in the middle of a fight, they're like, you think like clearly we're on the wrong path if we're fighting. And I'm like, no, like this is just, it's still the right way. Like, just like if you got directions from Google Maps and you hit traffic jam, it's like, look, I promise you, remember they bought Waze. I promise you, this is definitely still the fastest way. We're just going to have to tolerate this traffic jam.
Right.
But the more you try and avoid it right now, probably the longer the journey's going to take.
Yeah.
So just stay with the process. And if you're working with someone that knows what you're doing, we can transition you to a place that you end up feeling even more connected to each other than you would have gotten if you never got into the fight at all. And this session is a living, breathing example of how that's possible.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Yeah. What a journey. What a wild ride.
Yeah.
And we did come out of this way, way tighter than when we went in. And, you know, I love how we stayed with
that. Tight bros.
I know. Well, as you can kind of hear, I am sort of a bro.
You have a bro-like quality, especially at wrestling. You're like a better wrestler than any bro.
I fight dirty. Let's be real. The bro and the angry Irishman. This is our new band.
the thing about you in wrestling, like, your nails are like, your nails are like 20 times stronger than my nails.
I like to call them talons.
They are talons.
And my teeth are like fangs.
You can win any wrestling match with me within a split second because you just like, your nails.
You guys, Biggs is such a softie. He tries to bite me back because I'm pretty like fierce wrestler. Okay, he tries, but he's like, it's like a dog that doesn't have any teeth.
Wow. I'm biting as hard as I can, by the way.
It's like he can't do it. He can't do a bite. What is up with your bite? We gotta look at that.
I'm not into hurting people.
Well, I like it in a sexy way. You do.
But anyway, that's like, now we're digressing. We're obviously going to have to do an episode about sexy time. At some point...
Promises.
...has not happened. And, oh my God, please, I shouldn't have put us on the spot. But I guess we will at some point.
I think we will. Yeah, exactly.
But here, thank you for listening and watching. And we're looking forward to sharing more in the next episode.
See you next time.
Come out in 2 weeks.
Peace.
Bye. This was Come Here To Me. Relationship experts walk the talk.
Visit comeheretomepodcast.com for episode transcripts, social media links, and to subscribe to the mailing list.
If you or someone you love are struggling in your relationship or just want to work on making things that little bit better, visit us at empathy.com. That's empathy with an I on the end, not a Y on the end. We've got quizzes, courses, videos, articles, and free consultations for couples counseling or for relationship coaching.